When it comes to weight management, we tend to focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. That's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up today.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitchwells.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 8th. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Do you have PL Plus? No, get out of here. This is just for PL Plus members. Thank you all so much for supporting what we do. Jesus Lazardo went 7 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 1 walk, and 6 Ks yesterday. It feels like, oh, this is it, right? This is Jesus Lazardo from April. I am a little concerned. Curveball usage was not over 35%. It was down to just 21% curveballs, and just not really the CSW1, just 5% on that curveball, 1 for 21. Not what you want to see whatsoever. Over from 1 for 20, I should say. Only 15% four-seamers when we want to see that over sinkers, and only 95.5 miles per hour on that pitch. It all gives me a little bit of a concern. I do think that Luzardo is fine to hold on to. I'm not saying you shouldn't pick him up or you should drop him or something. He gets Atlanta next, and I feel like that's a trap after this start. Everyone's going to feel really good about it, and then all of a sudden they see the Luzardo against the Atlanta Braves, who are really good against southpaws, are going to maybe run with him considering the velocity is not there and everything is not the Luzardo we know from this year. It's actually more the Luzardo from last year, so be careful here. Tristan McKenzie went 8 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts against the Astros. You'll love to see it. Curveball was really good. The slider was not. Fastball was doing well up in the zone. That's good. But it's still a little volatile for McKenzie for me. I feel that he's not quite complete yet, and I don't know when we're going to get that. And he gets the Jays next, and it still feels like that same cherry bomb nature of high risk, high reward. I don't know what we're going to see here. I think he kind of start McKenzie, but I still feel so weird about him because I feel like he is just a cherry bomb. And hopefully he can develop some consistency with locations in the future. Matt Manning returned and 7 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 7 Ks against the Rays. I mean, it looks like it's amazing, right? No, I really don't like it. Lower velocity on the fastball. Slider is not a 48% CSW pitch. It just isn't. I watched it. It's not. I'm not jumping back in at Matt Manning. I'm sorry. Kevin Gausman against the Twins did really well. 6 innings, 0 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. You love to see that, especially the whip being 1, especially against the Twins. Good 4-seamer command. If you had those splitters a little bit lower under the zone as opposed to in the zone and at the bottom, I think you'll see more than 5 Ks and 13 whiffs, but you will absolutely take this. Zach Davies did well against Rocky Road, but he did not get a single CSW, 0 for 14 on his changeup, and yeah, that's not it. Drew Rasmussen was limited to only 3 innings because he wanted to give him some rest, and that's on the Rays. It's nothing about injury or anything. It's not an indication moving forward. They just wanted to give him rest here, which is so unfortunate because it was against the Tigers, and he only threw 33 pitches. Like, let him go one more inning or two. Oh, man, it is so rough. Tyler Anderson went against the Padres, 7 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 3 strikeouts. The magic of Tyler Anderson continues. This is against the Padres, who are better against lefties and now have Juan Soto and Josh Bell. And it's kind of weird because the changeup wasn't as good as we have seen. He had moments, but it wasn't really the overwhelming pitch that we've seen. Just keep it going. I mean, Jesus. I mean, him, Michaelis, and Merrill Kelly and Martin Perez, like, what a shock. Yu Darvish, on the other side of that, 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. We'll take it. I know it's a loss, but Darvish honestly performs well regardless of opponent, so we're cool with that. Christian Javier against Guardians, essentially did what he was supposed to do. Lots of strikes with the breaker, 67% between the slider and curveball, which is really nice. The four-seam was a little bit lower than usual, and that's why you only saw 4 Ks as opposed to, say, 8 or 9. But good stuff here. 6 innings, 1 earned run against the Guardians. Aaron Nola ace is going to ace it well against Natty Light. The changeup isn't quite as good as we want it to be, but whatever. Corbin Burns against Cincinnati. Ace is going to ace. Everything's cool. Brad Keller against the Red Sox. I mean, he's a cherry bomb, and somehow he made this work. 1 earned run in 6. Whatever. Graham Ashcraft against the Brewers. It feels like this is Drew Rasmussen if he throws 100 pitches. 5.2 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. It's cutter slider with a lower emphasis on sinkers now. I remember last time it was 1/3 for each of them. Now the sinker is about like 15% usage. The fact that Ashcraft is changing things every start and none of them really feel like this overwhelming outing is an indication to me of how Ashcraft is not something you want to trust, because I don't think he quite knows what works best for him. Bryce Wilson somehow did really well against the Orioles. Congrats. That's it. Lucas Giolito against the Rangers. 5 innings, 1 earned run, but 6 hits, 3 walks, and 5 Ks. Velocity was a little bit down, 92.5 as opposed to like 93 and above. And the change in slider failed each of them to get 20% plus CSW. Lots of misses in this one. He's not in the groove, and it's really, really annoying. And I know this is a dusty donut because he got a win. He got the 1 earned run, 5 strikeouts, fine. Bad whip. Giolito is not the guy that he used to be, and it's just so frustrating to watch. Logan Webb against Oakland, 7 innings, pitched 2 earned runs. I mean, he just did what he was supposed to do. It wasn't so incredible, but yeah, Logan Webb, good stuff. Now you get the Pirates. Jacob DeGrom is so stupid. 25 whiffs, 43% CSW. 18 whiffs on 18 swings on his slider. Literally, they tried 18 times in a row to hit his slider, and they missed. And then there was 2 more swings that were foul balls. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah, he's going to be number one today. Chris Archer against the Jays, 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, 4 Ks. This was the ceiling against the Jays, 5 innings. It's all you're ever going to see from Chris Archer, and the fact that he survived it, good job. I don't want to go for that. Adrian Martinez against the Giants. I kind of like his changeup, but I don't really like his slider or sinker. It gets the Astros next, so at the very least, like, ignore it for now. But hey, I'm watching Adrian Martinez. He might get some opportunities for the Athletics. Maybe there's more in that sinker and slider that can allow the changeup to really thrive against some good matchups on the stretch, as he's about 70 pitches, I should say, right now. Adrian Sampson went against the Marlins. Got to give you a poor quality start. Sure, that's fine. He has a chance to do that every time. Against weak opponents. This was a weak opponent. I'm glad it worked out. But then again, that's a 4.5 ERA for the rest of us, so I don't really know. Jose Urena, you don't want to do that. Marco Gonzalez did against the Angels. A very poor quality start. And with 7 strikeouts. That's 6 innings, 3 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 4 and 1. 8 hits and 1 walk. Whatever. It's okay. Just keep going against, you know, he's a Toby. I don't really know what else to say at this point. Spencer Watkins was disappointing against the Pirates. He led 4 runs and got a loss. So it goes. Spencer Strider went 2.2 innings, 4 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts. The Mets really worked him in this one. And I think Spencer Strider actually did all right. Lots of strikes in this. Wasn't quite as precise with the fastball up, but still, I think he did a decent job. And the Mets are just a really good offense. And this is how they are a good offense. It's not necessarily about the runs on the board, but just the at-bats were really tough. The first one of the game, even, 3-2 single off of Strider is a good indication of the entire game. Cutter Crawford went against the Royals. Yeah, 5 innings, 5 runs. I don't think he necessarily did so badly. Like, he did a good job with his cutter arm side, but there isn't really much to him. And against weak opponents, generally he's okay, but this wasn't good against the Royals. I mean, he still has this floor, and now he gets the Yankees, so, like, you don't need to go after Cutter Crawford. Spencer Howard, absolutely not. Adam Wainwright went against the Yankees. All right, so he had a bad game. Start him against the Brewers next. Tucker Davidson, unfortunately, is not panning out in that Angels rotation yet. 5 walks and 1 strikeout here, 6 earned runs. But maybe over time, as the Angels don't really have anything else to lose here by keeping Davidson inside the rotation, so we'll see. Corey Abbott for the Nationals, you don't want to touch. And Frankie Montas, 3 innings, 6 earned runs, 5 hits with 3 walks, 2 Ks. He hadn't pitched for 8 days. Maybe there were some jitters of the first debut. It's a tough week for the Yankees. Jordan Montgomery destroys them. Luis Castillo does well. All the other guys do well. Tyler Mahle does well. And Frankie Montas gets destroyed. So it goes. He gets the Red Sox next. I think I'm going to start him there. I think getting into normal rhythm will do him well. Looking forward to today and tomorrow's starters. Today we have a very short list of guys. Chris Bassett, Zach Gallen, and Blake Snell are all in the top tier. Cole Irvin's the only one in the second tier. If you can stream him, I would do that against the Angels. Logan Gilbert, Keegan Thompson, Jose Suarez, Jameson Taillon, and Yusei Kikuchi are in that second tier. I moved up Keegan Thompson. I normally do not do this, where I change my rank from yesterday to today. I'm doing it for Keegan Thompson. He goes against Natty Light, but the wind is blowing dramatically in, and that can do wonders for a pitcher. So it goes from a do not start, which was very questionable to me. It was like, fine, you know, I don't really like the volatility of Keegan Thompson. To now I'm like, all right, because the bottom of questionable, Jose Suarez, who's the stream pick of the day against the Athletics, James Entino and Yusei Kikuchi were all very close to do not start anyway. So I said, you know what? I'll rather take the chance on Keegan Thompson and push them up to six. Logan Gilbert is a questionable one. We know the ceiling, but the Yankees are really tough. And then the do not start tier, you have Alex Wood, Jordan Lyles, Anibal Sanchez, Tyler Beattie, and Justin Dunn. Wood gets the Padres. Maybe I'm being too rough on that one, and he deserves also to be in the questionable start after the rough weekend. But then you have Jordan Lyles, Anibal Sanchez, Tyler Beattie going, which you just don't want to do. And then Justin Dunn against the Mets, and I'm so curious what that happens, how that works out for Justin Dunn. Yeah, you do not start me that first one. Looking forward to tomorrow. And keep in mind, tomorrow we're going to be looking at Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. But you don't have anyone for tomorrow. So I'm going to talk about it right now. Shohei Ohtani, Zach Wheeler, Shane Bieber, Joe Musgrove, Brandon Woodruff, Alec Manoah, and Garrett Cole. All clear starts. I know Garrett Cole didn't do well last time, but whatever, you do it. Probable start here. You have Carlos Carrasco, Marcus Stroman against weak opponents. You start them. Lance Lynn, hopefully he can keep the momentum from his last start and go against the Royals here. You have Julio Urias, Charlie Morin, Luis Castillo, Martin Perez, all against tough opponents. I think you start all of them because they've just generally been really good for you. It's good to take the risk for the reward. And then you have Jose Urquidy going against the Rangers. A little bit tougher than Carrasco and Stroman, but still worth your while. The questionable starts here. You have Braxton Garrett against the Phillies. The slider's really good, but this is the toughest opponent he's seen for a bit. We don't really know how that's going to go. James Caprillion is the stream pick of the day. Jimmy Hatt against the Angels seems right. Miles Michaelis, Alex Cobb each have really tough opponents with Coors and the Padres. I'm favoring Cobb more than Alex Wood because I really liked Cobb against the Dodgers. A really nice splitter, and hopefully that's still there against the Padres. While Brady Singer is also at the bottom of this tier because it's a 50-50. And, you know, he didn't do well last time against the White Sox, but then again, it was the weather. We don't really know. The do not start tier is massive. Lots of really bad names, and it's generally why I think in August you have this peak around, like, let's say, like, last week, and then it starts to fall off as we get into September, because there are a lot of really just bad starters now going for teams, and then a lot of the good ones are now picked up, and you just have this real big separation of quality and stars and scrubs kind of thing happening, where guys are getting picked up or not, or there are more guys on the IL or removed for the year, and so on and so forth. So, in the do not start tier, Joe Ryan does not have his breaking ball, and now he gets the Dodgers, and I just don't want to do that. Ryan Yarbrough could be good. He likely will have an opener, so that means he'll be surviving into the fifth, most likely. But it's probably 4 to 5 innings, and I just don't want to do it against the Brewers. And everyone else, Rich Hill, Paolo Espino, Tyler Alexander, Kyle Bradish, either have bad opponents, and they're not that good anyway, or they're just not good enough whatsoever. You don't want to touch any of this. Looking forward to today's the list. This is what we do on Mondays. I give you guys a quick preview. So I'm just going to look at last week's rankings and give you an understanding of who's going to move where. Jacob DeGrom is going to be number one. Otherwise, I'm not really going to touch tier one, save for Garrett Cole going to the bottom of it and Justin Verlander being above Garrett Cole there. Tier two, I think I'm going to keep all of this. Kershaw is on the IL. So keep in mind, you're going to see a negative one or so plus one for everybody. But otherwise, I mean, tier two is the same. Am I moving anyone from tier three into tier two? I don't really think so. I need to remove the Aces Gonna Ace from Pablo Lopez and Tony Gonsolin, I think. At least Pablo Lopez, move him down a good amount, into tier four. Let's see, remove John Gray. Frankie Montas goes down a bit. Julio Urias has his Aces Gonna Ace tag and he's gonna be in tier three. Luis Castillo, we'll see how he performs against the Yankees. But that's about it there. In tier five, anyone moving up massively? I don't know. I don't quite know. I don't really think there's much to change in tier five, honestly. In tier six, you're not really going to see much. I think you're going to see Mike Clevinger go down a bit. Tarek Skubal is on the IL. Jose Barrios should go down a bit. Same with Andrew Heaney because of the limited pitch usage. While tier seven, Reed Detmers goes up, Tyler Malley goes up, into tier six, but I don't think the other ones change. Jesus Lazardo, Ashby, Lodolo stay here. Lucas Giolito, I guess, kind of goes into tier six. Should be about Barrios, for example. But that's it there. In tier eight, I might move up Merrill Kelly into that tier seven. Same with Marcus Stroman and Jose Urquidy. Jordan Montgomery kind of stays. Maybe actually goes up too because of the trade to the Cardinals. It does seem like the Cardinals defense is just going to help them. They have a really nice schedule the rest of the way. I'm not really going to talk too much about schedule quite yet, just so you guys know. Tier 9, I mean, I want to pull down Michael Kopech there as well. Tier 9 of Wood, Braxton Garrett, Josiah Gray, Brady Singer, Hunter Green. Brady Singer is going to go down. But not much really changes here. Tier 11, I think George Kirby's sticking around more than I expected, so he goes up. Cole Irvin will go up a little bit. But not much is changing there. And Tier 12, you're not really seeing too much move. Maybe Jimmy Hatt goes up a little bit, James Caprillion. But not much else here getting moved up. I mean, it seems like it's dramatic, but really it's just like one thing here and there of guys changing. I'm just going to double check the injured guys to see if anyone's coming back and where they would slide in. Lance McCullers is expected to come back, and he'll probably go in the Lodolo Ashby tier. I think that seems reasonable. So that's around tier 7. You have anyone else coming back soon? I know Dustin May, where would he slot? He'll probably be in that same thing there, but also Dodgeritis will affect him. So keep that in mind with him. Edward Cabrera is going to be in that tier 6, tier 7 of Lodolo and Ashby and company. I'm excited for that. I want to see more of him. And is there anyone else in the pitchers I considered tier that should be going into the list? Oh boy, Patrick Corbin. Why? Oh man. He is not last one out. He is absolutely out. I don't really see anyone that is jumping off the page right now. But David Peterson, unfortunately, is not making more starts. Domingo Germán deserves to be on the list. He'll probably be in the one, like the second to last tier, something like that. But I think that's going to do it for today of this edition of the Plus Pitch Podcast. Thank you all so much for supporting what we do. Make sure to be back at 1 p.m. for the live stream of the list. But that's it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.